We're going to read this morning from Paul's letter to the Colossians, if you would like to turn to that in your Bible or in one of the pew Bibles, page 1184. This is the final section of Paul's letter to the church in Colossae, and we're going to read the last chapter, beginning at verse 2 and right through to the end at verse 18. Colossians chapter 4, reading from verse 2 until the end of the chapter. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. And pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. Be wise in the way you act towards outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. Tychicus will tell you all the news about me. He's a dear brother, a faithful minister and fellow servant in the Lord. I'm sending him to you for the express purpose that you may know about our circumstances and that he may encourage your hearts. He is coming with Onesimus, our faithful and dear brother, who is one of you. They will tell you everything that is happening here. My fellow prisoner Aristarchus sends you his greetings, as does Mark, the cousin of Barnabas. You have received instructions about him. If he comes to you, welcome him. Jesus, who is called Justice, also sends greetings. These are the only Jews among my fellow workers for the kingdom of God, and they have proved a comfort to me. Epaphras, who is one of you and a servant of Christ Jesus, sends greetings. He is always wrestling in prayer for you, that you may stand firm in all the will of God, mature and fully assured. I vouch for him that he is working hard for you and for those at Laodicea and Hierapolis. Our dear friend Luke, the doctor, and Demas send greetings. Give my greetings to the brothers at Laodicea and to Nympha and the church in her house. After this letter has been read to you, see that it is also read in the church of the Laodiceans, and that you in turn read the letter from Laodicea. Tell Archippus, see to it that you complete the work you have received in the Lord. I, Paul, write this greeting in my own hand. Remember my chains. Grace be with you. Well, good morning again. It's, as Fergus said, 3.5 years since we were last here. Last time, I remember standing down there and giving the children's talk during our commissioning service before we last went out, and telling you the news that one of our boys the previous day had caught chickenpox, and we were delayed for a week in going back at that time. I would like at the outset to thank you for your support again over those last 3.5 years, for people writing and sending emails, and for the financial support, which never ceases to come through. We're very thankful and appreciative of that. The Cherry Blossom Fair that's held every year to raise funds for ourselves. 3.5 years is a long time, and it's not. It wasn't our intention to be away for as long as that without coming back for at least a few months, but things have worked out differently with the family situation. Let me just give you a brief update on where we are as a family. Still have 4 boys. The oldest one is sitting over there beside Nimi, wearing a bright pink T-shirt, so he's immediately recognisable to all of you. He's going to be starting at Glasgow next week to study law there. Our second boy, Matthew, is now 16. He's been at Hebron School, where Daniel was, in India. He's having a term out at the moment, doing some homeschooling as he starts his A-levels, and hopefully will go back at the beginning of next year. Callum is 12. He's turned out to be our star footballer. He even represented Hokkaido recently in a match against Korea, and is hoping to go to Korea in November to represent Hokkaido there. So he was due to go to Hebron right now in August, but we've delayed him so he can get that extra training in football and then move on to Hebron, hopefully at the beginning of next year with Matthew. And the only one that's not changing at the moment is Alistair. He's 9 and he's still going to the local primary school. But we have a big move ahead of us. We're moving to Tokyo as a family next year. I'll touch on that in a moment. So big changes lie ahead for him as well. So lots of things happening over these coming months. During this time back, I really want to do 3 things while I'm here. I'm not going to do all of those this morning because there's no time. But to focus a little bit on what we've been doing these last 3.5 years. How has this church developed and grown over these times, these months and years that we've been in Japan? Hiragishi. The second thing I would like to share about, and I'll just touch on that briefly today, but speak more about it next Sunday at the evening service, is the aftermath of the earthquake and the tsunami in March of last year. You all saw the photos, dreadful time, and still many, many people experiencing much suffering. I'm going to share a little bit more about that next Sunday evening. And also our future. Again, I want to touch on that a bit more next Sunday evening. We're going to move into a role called the Field Director, which is really taking over responsibility for all of OMF's work in Japan. So it's big picture stuff. It's pastoral care for the folks who are there. It's welcoming new workers, and we're seeing people coming all the time. It's kind of boom time at the moment for new workers coming to Japan. And that doesn't surprise me, because one of my prayers last year after the tsunami was, God, you're going to do something through this. And one of the things is you're going to send more workers. And we're seeing that already. So we'll move into a new role, being based in Tokyo, still involved in a local church, but taking on much more the bigger picture and leading and giving vision and direction to the work. Now, going back to the passage that we read earlier, I want to base what I'm going to say and share a little bit about Hiragishi, but basing it in this passage. This man, Tychicus, comes out in verse 7, and it says of him that he's got 2 roles. One is to go to Colossae, to this church there, and tell the news. He was to tell them everything, it said. I'm not going to tell you everything that's happened in 3.5 years, but I'd like to share some of the news with you. But Tychicus didn't just come to tell the news. It says in there, along with Onesimus, that they're going so they can encourage the hearts of the people in Colossae. And that's what I hope I can do through all that I share this morning. Not just to give you the news, but to encourage you. That as you pray and as you're in partnership with the work in Japan, things are happening. God is at work. If you like titles for messages, for sermons, I would give this title, Building Bridges to Build Community. We've been doing these 2 things over these last few years. Building community, that's in a sense what church is. It's not just that. But one of the aspects of church is community. You here are a community of God's people. But to do that from zero, we needed to build the bridges. So that's where we were with the children this morning, seeking the ways into the community round about us so that we can build up this community of God's believers. In that passage that we read earlier, the final section from verse 7 right to the end, the NIV has a heading, Final Greetings. And it is that, but it's much more than final greetings, because in this passage here from verse 7 to the end, you see a glimpse of church. Not as Paul would perhaps describe it in other letters like Ephesians or in Thessalonians or in Corinthians, where he paints an image of the church, but he describes what church is like or what church should be like. You get a picture. What is church? How would you answer that question? What is church? It's a very important question to ask. We've had to ask that in Hiragishi. What are we doing here with this thing called church planting? Surely at heart, church is people. church is this community of people. And there are local expressions of that. So you are the local expression of God's people, of this community in this part of Mogae. But it's a much wider community. It's worldwide. It spans the generations. That's what church is. So we have this local gathering. Do you remember what Jesus said to his disciples in John's Gospel? He said to them, love one another. And what's the result of loving one another? Everyone will know that you are my disciples. So we start there. We start with these one another's. In Paul's letters, if you read them through, Paul often talks about one another, encourage one another, build one another up, forgive one another. That one anotherness, if you like, that should be seen reflected in the local church. And we see that here as Paul is writing to these believers in Colossae. He's picking out different believers, different people who are serving the Lord. And they do different things and they have different gifts. One of the things that happens is news is shared. And that's what we've tried to do over these years by feeding back the news. That's one expression of how church in a wider community works. There's prayer. It talks about Epaphras wrestling in prayer. We've known people down through the years who've really been those wrestlers in prayer. They've really given themselves to praying for God's work. There's work to be done. That's another thing it says about Epaphras. He's working hard. All of that is part of church. Praying and sharing together in the news and working hard. But there's more, and we need to see that in these verses. What this community of church is about, there needs to be encouragement. That comes there. They're coming to encourage your hearts. It uses the word comfort as well at one point, Paul. To comfort one another. To build one another up. Do we see that in church? Is there a welcoming like they're asked to do for one of the believers who's coming? Opening up a home like Nympha did. This reminds us of our own church in Hiragishi. We meet in a home, in our home, on a Sunday afternoon. So we see a little reflection there of what church is. Yes, praying and working and sharing in the news, but this encouraging one another, building up this community. And that's what we've tried to do in our small church in Hiragishi, to encourage the people, to encourage one another and build one another up. We have this community, but we need to build connections into the community round about us. And that's where the building bridges comes in. Paul, at the beginning of this passage here, verses 2 to verse 6, he identifies three ways of building bridges into the community that's around us. How are we going to reach people for the gospel? Paul says three things. There's prayer. That's verses 2 to 4. There is actions, and then there are words in verse 6. These three things. Dick Lucas, I think, has spoken from this pulpit at Holy Week services at one point. Marvelous man of God, marvelous minister of the gospel. And Dick Lucas, in one of his books on Colossians, says this about what Paul writes concerning prayer and actions and words. And it's very helpful just to remember what this is all about. He says, you can summarize this passage by saying this: speaking to God about people, that's prayer, and speaking to people about God, that's our words and our actions. Speaking to God about people, speaking to people about God. You know, if you read these verses, there's not an inward focus, is there? There's a Godward focus in prayer, and then there's an outward focus by your actions towards outsiders, by your words towards the people who are around you. You know, mission, and when I talk about mission, I don't just mean those who go halfway around the world. That is mission, but I'm talking locally as well, because wherever we are, we're in a mission setting. Mission is not an optional extra for the church. It's actually integral. It's core to what church should be, reaching out to people round about. So we went to Hiragishi and we start this church from zero. And where do you start? How would you start if I were to give you a plane and a parachute and drop you in this area of Hiragishi? Here's your house, got a big graveyard opposite, a local school, lots of things going on. Where do you start? And what we did was really go into the community, get known, build up relationships with people, and go into what you might call the sub-communities, the football teams and the swimming clubs and the local shops and the community events. That's where we started. Let's think about the role of prayer. These three bridges, prayer and actions and words. Prayer. Paul says, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. Prayer just doesn't happen. Paul says, be watchful. Be aware of the news of what's going on round about you. Be alert to that. And prayer isn't just about praying for things and praying for people. That's obviously part of prayer. But Paul says, with thanksgiving, be thankful. I was really challenged about this just a few months ago with Daniel and Matthew and others in a team. We went down again to one of those areas that was completely obliterated by the tsunami. And all the people that were displaced are living in temporary prefab houses. And we went to one place and we set up what we call a mobile cafe, just doing barbecue and drinks for the people, and they gathered. And I was listening to a couple of old ladies. I would say they were in their 80s, elderly ladies and an elderly man. Just listening to them, and they said this to me, you know, we're thankful for the tsunami. And I was shocked. How can you be thankful for something that killed 15,000 people? Probably some of their loved ones swept away their houses. But what they said was, we've now got this community here. We're speaking to one another. We used to be living in the same place, but we never saw each other. And people are coming and caring for us. And we're thankful. And that really humbled me. Someone who's gone through so much devastation in their lives and in their communities said, thankful. How often am I thankful in prayer? Or how much do I just complain and grumble and moan? Be thankful, says Paul. Specific ways to pray. How do we pray for mission? Paul says, pray that doors would be open. And that's a great way to pray. Even if you can't pray specifically for people or names in Japan, pray that doors would open so that those who are there can share the gospel with people round about. Prayer that we can proclaim the message clearly, says Paul. Obviously, for me, speaking Japanese is still a challenge 14 years on. But not just for good Japanese, but for an ability to proclaim the message in a way that people actually understand, using words that they can engage with and say, all right, that's what the gospel is all about. These are ways to pray for us. You know, as we engage with people and do all the things at the school and football, often the conversation is just very superficial. It's quite hard to move it on to anything beyond the superficial level. But prayer is a key way for you to be involved in mission with us, that these doors would open. I shared a little bit about the school earlier, how I became a school guard. I was too embarrassed to wear that bright green hat, actually, but I got an arm, what do you call these things, armband to wear, going around just meeting the children. And that was key, just to start meeting them. Lorna getting involved in different things in the school, meeting the mothers, that network of people, getting known, our faces were known. So you have to build up the trust relationship. People are not going to speak to you. They'll be suspicious. And then getting involved in things like the local school festival every year. Again, just being seen. And then how all of that ended up was that last year I was asked to become the chairman of the PTA, which is very unusual for a non-Japanese person. You just don't become it. But we had got ourselves known. And it ended up just in March of this year, just about towards the end of March, and I had to make a speech at they have a graduation at the end of primary school, make a speech. I wasn't able to share from the Bible because that's not allowed, but I spoke about, you know, the author Max Lucado, and he's written a book in English, I think it's called You're Special or I'm Special, and I spoke about that. But if we hadn't gone through the stages of getting to know the children and the mothers in the school, probably wouldn't have had that opportunity. So pray for these open doors. Actions. Paul says in verse 5, be wise in the way you act towards outsiders. You know, looking from across in Japan at some of the things that I read on the websites and different ways of getting news, some of the things that seem to be done in Jesus' name these days don't seem to me to be very wise. And Paul says, be wise. I wonder if he would always say, be normal. Sometimes Christians can come across like you're from some other planet and you're speaking the language of some other planet. I think Paul might say, be normal. Just get out there and be normal. Be part of your community. Get involved. We have a little garden in front of our house and it was very scruffy and overgrown. And one afternoon, early days in Hiragishi, I was out and we put some pot plants in. And a lady passed and said, these look nice, don't they? I said, oh, thank you very much. And we got talking. And it so happened her husband was part of a church many years ago. And she's now studies French with Lorna, actually. But just building up that relationship there. Little plants in the front of your garden. Simple things can become a testimony. Going down into those tsunami areas, one of our colleagues who works there a lot says that we've become Jesus' hands and feet. You understand what that is? Being Jesus' hands and feet. Not going with words, but getting, mucking in and clearing up and rebuilding and just being with people and listening to them. One thing I've learned is that there is a ministry you might call the ministry of listening. You don't need to say anything. You just sit with people and listen to them. And that's very therapeutic and healing. So be wise in the way you act towards outsiders. You know, the opportunities will come. Paul speaks of the opportunities. He says, make the most of every opportunity. Often that verse makes us feel guilty. We think, oh, I should have said that or done that. I don't think we need to beat ourselves up about that. We never know how our actions will in time bear fruit. That little thing that may seem completely nothing to you actually speaks because God uses it. Then the last thing Paul says is about words. He says in verse 6, let your conversation be always full of grace. Often the things we're finding is small talk, getting to know people and engaging in small talk. One time I was at the gym and I just finished and I was standing next to a fan and I said one word in Japanese, which means, oh, that's nice and cool. And this lady said, oh, your Japanese is so good. They always say that, but you just say one word and your Japanese is so good. Anyway, we got talking and this lady came with her granddaughter to one of our Christmas events. What did I say? One word. It's nice and cool. So you never know what's going to happen with your words. Paul says, let your conversation be full of grace so you know how to answer people. That time will come. There are times when people ask us things. You know, why do you go to church on a Sunday morning? Why are you a Christian? Are we able to give an answer to that? It doesn't need to be some cleverly thought out theological answer. It's just a simple thing. Well, I believe in Jesus because. And just say something quite simple. That's what it is to live for Jesus. For prayer, through our actions, through our words. You know, it's being where people are. We're not forcing our agenda on people. But being where people are. Seeking to share Jesus through all that we are and all that we say and all that we do. And through our listening and just being there. Paul says, pray for those who proclaim the gospel. Some are called to do that in a sense as a job, whether you're a minister or a missionary. And it's good to pray for that. But all of us can live out the gospel and share the gospel. It's not rocket science. It's very simple. And I hope you've managed to just catch a little bit of that this morning as we've been involved in that. That you too here can be involved in mission. It may take courage, but just little steps, little words, little actions, ways of listening. Last words of Paul here. Paul says, grace be with you. You know, people being led to Jesus, that's by grace. People coming to know Jesus, it's grace. It's not through our efforts. And living for Jesus, that's by grace. So there are huge opportunities in Japan and here. And I think Paul would say to all of us as we try to build these bridges, to build up communities of believers, he'll say, grace be with you. That's what it's all about. He gives grace and we can live by that grace. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your grace that is poured out on us. We thank you that you give us opportunities day by day. Help us, Lord, to take them. And through our words and our actions and our thoughts and our listening and our being, to be witnesses for Jesus. For we ask in his name. Amen.